I want to know the eclipse stories. Please, if you feel comfortable, drop them below. My eclipse story, I think I told y'all that the eclipse went through my 10th house of career, and I've been feeling really burnt out with a part-time job at Whole Foods. And maybe about a month ago, I put it out there that on Witch Church, kind of not seriously, like I was just like, oh, I need a part-time job. And it's funny because one of my clients, she is a co-owner of this space in Chicago called Five Point Holistic Healing. And she reached out to me and she was like, Mal, like, we need a receptionist. Do you want to come and maybe would you be available to do that? And I was like, oh my God, that sounds great. Like, you know, I'd be in this office with different acupuncturists and healers and et cetera, et cetera. But there was like this like time period because they were moving into the new office. There was this like big chunk of time where it was like, I was in this like waiting period where I was like, oh my God, like, am I going to get this job? Is this going to be my way out of Whole Foods? By the way, for the next month, I'm still going to be kind of juggling both these jobs just to kind of see what happens. But that being said, the eclipse, that was my eclipse story. I got the job. The eclipse was Wednesday night, and then Thursday, my new manager called me and was like, let's do it. And I started the job yesterday. So it was just like night and day from working at Whole Foods. Guys, be really nice to your cashiers, because people are in grocery stores. I just feel like, you know, people are just so dumb. Like, it's exhausting because we are asked like the same question all the time, and we're sort of, I can't even explain it, but it's like you're being a cashier is kind of like this weird time loop where like you're doing the same thing and answering the same question and kind of even saying the same script over and over and over again. It can kind of be maddening. And for me, as like this neurodivergent weirdo, it's really hard for me to be in that script. And I have, you know, just, I'm truly amazed by some of my coworkers that I do work with that have been doing this through the pandemic. And like, I don't know. So anyways, be nice to your cashiers when you're in the grocery store. I don't think any member of Witch Church would be mean to the cashiers, but just be nice to them. Our job is not as easy as you might think. But yeah, anyways, it's just night and day, because something that was hard for me as like a highly sensitive person at Whole Foods was like the fluorescent lights and like the beeping of like the register, like that really sort of, it just, I don't know, it just triggers my nervous system. And there's something here about the new job I just got where it's just like, it's just peaceful, it's calm, there's no beeping, there's no fluorescent lights. So I'm just like so thankful. So that's how the eclipse changed my energy. But at the same time, I do think eclipses can sort of call in really big changes that can feel overwhelming in some way too. Like one of my best friends, she texted me that her boyfriend in 1 week got 2 different job offerings and got approved to buy a house. And again, these things seem like positive on paper, but it can be really overwhelming in that moment, right? So if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with the changes that have come in during this past week with the eclipse and the Mercury's and Mercury stationing retrograde. You know, I actually think this Mercury retrograde's kind of a blessing because it's giving us this moment where we can integrate, or at least like slowly kind of have these 3 weeks to integrate whatever came through during the eclipse, right? Hey Vince, I hope you're well too. And Katie, you said sudden situationship breakup on Thursday. Painful and surprising, but grateful for the truth. Yeah. Yeah, why are situationships, why do they sometimes feel more emotionally, I don't know. I just feel like there's so much emotional turmoil with situationships. Like, I'm not saying relationship breakups aren't hard, but situationships kind of dissolving is a different kind of hard, because I don't even know what it is, but I have a lot of empathy for that, Katie. Emmy, you said hashtag big quit energy, but sadly I did not quit. Well, you know what, Emmy? I think you're so tuned into the divine timing of your life that, you know, you can also think that on some subconscious energy, you have quit on some subconscious level. You're already done with that job. There's already a future version of Emmy in existence that is, you know, has a completely different day, and, you know, you're just slowly but surely meeting that version of yourself. So the version of yourself that is not in this job completely already exists, period. So now you're just figuring out how to meet them, right? Vince, you said, not sure if we're talking eclipse stuff, but for me, it felt like a big jolt. Cosmic defibrillator? How do you say that? Is how I've been describing it. Now I'm in the retrograde Taurus slowdown period. Yeah, kind of like a shock. Yeah, I totally get that. Sam, you said, I'm always thrilled to have a real human check out my stuff at the grocery store. Yeah. Ellis, you said, I love standing in an aisle looking directly at the thing I'm looking for and still asking where it is because I can't see it. No, I do that too, though. I do that too. As a person who, yeah, has worked in a grocery store in the past 6 months, and I also worked at a Whole Foods back in, I think it was after I graduated college. It was for 8 months or so before I went to Malaysia. So I totally get that when you're where is the thing? And you're staring right at it. Yeah. Lindsay, you said, eclipse in my 12th house. If I had listened to your YouTube post, I would have rested all week. Instead, I did a bunch of extra work and feel like I'm fighting off an illness with swollen throat nodes. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I think, so for the Taurus risings, I must have told them, yeah, to take extra care and extra rest. Thanks for the congratulations, guys. Vince, you said, just wanted to say thank you so much for holding space every week. It feels sacred and it feels so important. Just wanted to be sure you feel recognized and supported in this community. Aw, that's sweet. Of course. I will say, though, Vince, I think it's very mutual receptivity with which church. I like to show up, but you guys also show up, and I enjoy seeing the regulars, and yeah, it's special for me too, so thank you. Jess, you said, I interviewed for a job and didn't get it. Felt change coming, but then it stalled. Totally. That's actually a really good metaphor for having an eclipse and then a Mercury retrograde directly after. I just picked up my car from the repair shop and they said it's all good to go. And your car works for an hour, and then somehow it starts breaking down again, and you're, like, on the side of the road, and you're like, I thought I was good to go, you know? I think there's especially something with Mercury retrograde in Taurus, and I'm gonna grab my deck here. Yeah, with Mercury retrograde in Taurus, I am reminded of the tarot card, Knight of Pentacles, and I'm gonna find it here. And while I'm finding it, by the way, my tarot class, Tarot for Personal Transformation, begins May 23rd. It's Tuesday evenings. You can join from anywhere in the world. It's on Zoom. I do love when my students are able to join the live class at least a handful of times, just because the class is based off of, like, discussion and, you know, sharing your story. But if you look at the dates and you feel like, oh, I can't make all of these, that's okay, because you'll receive the recording. And I really love this tarot class. It's one of my favorite things that I've created, because I've seen it really change the game for a lot of people when it comes to tarot. I've seen this class help people get tarot when they haven't gotten it before. And I don't say it lightly that this class could change your life, you know, because I think working with tarot can be a really beautiful way to connect with yourself and do the internal reflection that you need to do. And, yeah, and it's funny, this isn't necessarily part of the tarot class, but, Do you guys know Cassandra Snow? They wrote the book Queering the Tarot. And I've been wanting to have them on my podcast for a while. I'll have to reach out to them. But maybe, like, I don't know, this was a long time ago. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. They tweeted something about, like, a tarot spread for, like, figuring out your sexuality or something like that. And I swear to God, this tarot spread was, like, so illuminating for me when it came to coming out to myself and, like, discovering who I am. And that's just, like, a small snippet of, like, what tarot can be when we strip back the sort of, this is a predictive tool that, this is a predictive tool that's going to help me tell the future. That's not the lens that we look at pretty much at all in this class. Like, it's more like, what can this reflect back to me about myself? You know, so anyways, it's a good class, guys. It does start May 23rd, Tuesday evenings, Mars Day. This cohort is called the Emperor Cohort, and the Emperor is a representative of Aries, and I just thought we should start on Tuesday, which is Mars Day. All right, but, Vince, you said, I hope you get a great response to the class and create lots of satisfying outcomes. Yeah, I hope so too. Every class is different in a really beautiful way. And I think I'm a new version of myself every time I teach the class. And the Emperor card is just so on fleek for where I am right now in my life. And I know I have the list of some of the people that already signed up right here on my post-it notes on my wall, and I know a lot of the people who have already signed up are also in this sort of emperor moment, so this will be good. But let's talk about the Knight of Pentacles and what it has to do with Mercury retrograde in Taurus, which we'll be experiencing for the next, like, 3 weeks or so, and then we have the shadow period, so we're looking at a little over a month of this transit. And I kind of want to see, when does Mercury station direct? I'm looking down here. Okay, so it looks like Mercury station's direct. Oh, May 11th. That's funny. That's when I get my tattoo. So between now and May 11th, there's something like Taurian about a lesson that we're kind of grappling with, or a piece of ourselves that we're sort of marinating with. And something that we learn about in tarot class is that the Knight of Pentacles is the only knight who is riding a horse that isn't moving. And I actually sometimes describe his horse as like a donkey, or like like a sort of very humble, a humble equine animal, right? And even though the, and again, if you're listening on the podcast, I'm holding up the Rider-Waite-Smith Knight of Pentacles, so that's what I'm going off of here. But it's funny, the horse is not moving. A humble steed, exactly. This is Donkey from Shrek. So, you know, we've got this horse, he's not moving. We also have this knight, though, and he's clearly prepared for something. I mean, he's full armor, you know, fully packed. He's got his granola bars, he's got his water, he's like good to go. Like, he's about to go on a long fucking journey, right? But again, he's not moving. But do you see, there's still a lot of energy in this card, right? Like, we can even see by the yellow background. This is a really cool practice that you can do if you're learning tarot. You can kind of group the cards by background color and see what they have in common. So it's interesting, like, if we look at some other cards that have a yellow background, just two that come out, the Fool and the Nine of Pentacles. That's interesting, right? Because the Fool is about forward movement, and the Nine of Pentacles is kind of about like this self-worth, sort of Beyonce, I call it the Beyonce card, this sort of safe within the self kind of moment. So even though he's not necessarily moving, could we say he is moving in different ways that aren't necessarily physical, but perhaps he's doing some more energetic work, he's doing some psychological moving, and also, you know, he's holding his pentacle here, like, there is a lot of energy in the way he's holding this. He's like, ooh, this is my map, and I'm trying to decide the best route to take. So there's a lot of wisdom in the Knight of Pentacles, because he shows us how much wisdom there is in standing still for a minute and reorienting oneself to one's own map, right? And in a world where we're constantly rushed to get to work, we're constantly being sort of molded into living a timeline that doesn't necessarily serve our bodies, minds, or spirits, right? Like, whose spirit came here to operate in this sort of 9 to 5, 5 days a week, 6 days a week working life? No one. You know what I mean? Like, that was never the time that our soul, the timeline that our soul wanted when came to Earth, right? So anyways, there's something here about the stillness, the wisdom of just slowing your humble steed down for a second and just reevaluating the map, especially in light of some bigger realizations, some bigger changes that may have come in with this past eclipse. And may I add, we still have one more eclipse coming on May 5th. That's the Scorpio solar eclipse, or the Scorpio full moon. So there's still more to this eclipse story that's unfolding. And I think that's why the Knight of Pentacles is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I see all this potential of moving forward in this yellow background, but also just because we see the potential of it all doesn't necessarily mean we have to like sort of sprint towards it, right? Like if there is true potential that is there, we can have faith that it's also meeting us. You know, things are meeting us halfway. And I always forget that, you know, when I'm forcing and I'm like trying to push through and make things go faster and getting impatient. Like, I hate that part of myself that's so impatient. And then, you know, the thing actually does find you and meets you halfway. And you're like, all right, so I just wasted, you know, a month, you know, overthinking this thing that was always coming to me in the first place. You know, so that's something that I think the Knight of Pentacles comes through with as well. Now, let's talk about Taurus in the sense of timing, okay? Raise your hand if you've ever tried to get a Taurus to do something and failed, right? Like, Taurian people can't be pushed, or like they can't be pushed into their own, they can't be pushed into someone else's timeline, right? Like, they have to come to their own sense of timing in order to gain movement. And that's where we get that stereotype of Tauruses are stubborn. Okay, are Tauruses stubborn? I guess. But does part of that come from us pushing? You know, we're getting impatient with the Taurus and we're pushing. And we're like, get on my timeline. And they're like, no, it isn't right. And then we're like, all right, you stubborn bull. Now you've pissed me off, you know? So it's like this interesting thing with Mercury retrograde in Taurus. Don't push the bull. Don't push it. You know, like, let the bull come to you. Let the bull, you know, I don't know, there's something there with the sort of pushing, manipulating, shoving, rushing. Don't do it, because you're going to piss off the Taurus energy and then get more slow, or it's more slow. It ends up being slower than you thought, right? So Taurus placements move exactly on their own time, exactly. And Ams, you said, does the North Node in Taurus apply here? Absolutely. And it's funny you say that, because I was going to mention, you know, we have a lot in Taurus right now. So we have the North Node in Taurus. We have Mercury in Taurus, Uranus in Taurus, the Sun's in Taurus. Jupiter is heading into Taurus. At some point, I think the day Jupiter moves into Taurus, the moon's also there too. So like, it's kind of wild, this sort of Taurus energy that's coming through. And I was looking, I don't know if Alana's here, but Alana, last time I saw her, she gifted me this Dane Rudyard book, The Astrology of Personalities. And I have never had a Dane Rudyard book, but, you know, he's the one who kind of came up with sort of, psychological evolutionary astrology, or he was one of the first astrologers to kind of take things like Carl Jung and apply them to astrology. But I thought this was interesting, the thing that he said about Taurus, and I'm flipping through here. Okay, so one thing he says about Taurus is Taurus operates in terms of the soul. It gives substance and death to the Aries impulses. That seems really applicable because Jupiter in Aries right now, it has caused us to really impulsively change and like take risks maybe that we wouldn't normally take, or there's been really big changes that we didn't see coming. And once Jupiter moves into Taurus, it will sort of quote unquote give substance to the depth of Aries impulses, right? So I think that's part of this transition into Taurus. And the other thing, some other key words that Rudyard gives Taurus is inertia, practicality, concreteness, bondage to the earth and to the energies of the earth, determination, energy, fruitfulness. So going back to your question, Ams, like the sort of north node in Taurus right now, what does that have to do with stuff? Well, for me, north node in Taurus, south node in Scorpio, is all about karma when it comes to our bondage to the earth, right? So, you know, I think that could be coming up too, in a way, with this transition to this sort of temporary Taurus stellium, like our bondage to the material world. And overall, I think our souls, I think we're all kind of working with, in some way, how we are overly bonded to the material in some way. So some of us are working on our fear of money, our fear of relationships. I don't know. Like, there's so many things that have to do with, like, bondage to earth or bondage to the material. We all have some kind of karma in that area, right? But it's funny because I think in order to release that karma, like you said, Ams, like, back to earth, like, maybe we're kind of going back to the Mother Nature part of it. You know, and the Taurus, now I'm blabbing, but the Taurus North Node, Scorpio South Node, that's also in the mix because we're in eclipse season, it really invokes our relationship to the material. And I'm even thinking about global warming, right? It's a really good, it's not really good, it's really good, it's a good and heartbreaking example of the sort of, I guess, shadow of Taurus in a lot of ways, maybe the shadow of all earth signs. Like, how am I over attached to the material world, and how am I manipulating the material world and ignoring these consequences? And how is that manipulation of, like, cutting down the rainforests and, you know, putting these Amazon factories everywhere and, you know, cutting down trees and, you know, gentrifying neighborhoods and all of this stuff? Like, it's sort of like, how is my attachment to the material world, how has it come to destroy the material world, right? And that could be something that this Taurus eclipse season is kind of bringing up for us. Again, it might not be in this grand scale of global warming, but it could be in our own lives. Like, how is my attachment to this material thing, how is it, how does it have consequences for my own relationship to myself, to earth, to spirit, to my soul's path, right? So yeah. And Vince, you said the North Node co-present with Uranus has been such a wild ride, digging into stuff about materialism. The South Node is more helpful here than I think people realize. Totally. I think the sort of rhetoric that North Node good, South Node bad, I don't like it at all. Like, I think both the North Node and the South Node have their own beneficial lessons. And yeah, maybe the South Node is a little bit more purgy, right? But alas, I digress. So that's the vibe, you know, with this Mercury retrograde in Taurus. And yeah, check out your Taurus house. What's going on there? You know that you're coming up with a stellium in that house in the next month. And what is that going to potentially bring up, right? Okay, so let's pull an archetype card that can further help us with Mercury retrograde in Taurus. This week, we're kind of in limbo between the eclipses. We're kind of marinating with what the eclipses brought up. So while I pull an oracle card for the collective, please comment below your prayers, your prayer requests, if you need some good vibes sent to something. If you want a tarot card or an oracle card pulled, let me know. Would love to be of service to you. A prayer I'll ask for is, can you send good vibes that all the people that are meant to find my tarot class, or who are meant to have the medicine of my tarot class, will sort of find it easily? And also one prayer that I wanted to hold for a witch church community member, Quinn. You might know her, with her ceramics business, but, her partner is going through a really big health scare. So I just wanted to ask for some prayers sent to Quinn and her partner. And I'm in full agreement that her partner has a fast recovery. And, I'm in full agreement that the financial stress of this medical emergency will be alleviated quickly and easily. And yeah, if you could just send some good vibes to which church member Quinn, that would be awesome. Okay. All right. So the cards we pulled, the archetypes, the ocean, and the kiss. This does, you know, it's funny, the ocean and the kiss, it kind of reminds me that when Mercury did station retrograde, it was in conjunction with the moon and Uranus. So it was kind of like an emotionally sort of triggering, maybe, Mercury station. Because moon, Uranus, right next to that Mercury station, it feels like I'm emotionally overwhelmed and I like blow up, or I'm emotionally overwhelmed and I'm pushing people away, or I'm emotionally overwhelmed and I need some like time to myself or whatnot. And I think the ocean for me right now, it is coming through as a sacred time with the self for some reason. I don't know. It's never come through quite like that before, but you know, how can you cultivate sacred time with the self in the next 3 weeks to help with this integrative time? I remember in, like, one of the best but hardest times in my life, when I was living in Malaysia in 2018, I was learning so much. Like, it was a spiritual, like, I don't know, it was like a fast-paced course in connecting with my spiritual side, that sometimes it just felt like so much, and I would go to the beach and just like sit there, and I would kind of sit with the ocean, and that would kind of help me integrate all of the things that were happening. So maybe if this sacred time to yourself can also include some kind of nature friend, like maybe you have friends with, maybe you're friends with a certain tree or a river or an ocean if you're lucky enough to live on a coast, maybe you're friends with a mountain or a patch of flowers, you know, have that sacred time with that nature thing and keep returning to that thing in the next 3 weeks. Like, go visit it, go be in community with that nature spot, okay? And I think that that kind of relates to the kiss, which is sort of like connection. And when I do think of Taurus, I do think how important it is to be like physically connected to other humans. Like, we do need physical touch to survive. We do need emotional connection to survive. So, you know, hug your friend, you know, or, you know, cuddle spend some extra time cuddling, or, you know, spend some extra time, you know, with your dog, you know, if it's not another human. But there's something here about importance of human connection as co-regulation during a time of turbulence. So how can you co-regulate? That's what's coming through. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the polls here. Pam, you said I would love a card for the week ahead, Mal. Thank you. All right. For some reason, I'm feeling called to this Sacred Symbols Oracle deck right now, so let's just use it and see what comes up. Card of the week for Pam. Fire! Okay, that's cool. So that makes me feel like, you know, there's some initiation going on this week. There's some new energy that's arriving to you. Maybe there's new inspiration, new motivation. And maybe you're figuring out ways to get motivated to do what you've wanted to be doing. And part of the, part of getting motivated for me really does have to do with the environment that I'm in. So, like, if I'm feeling really unmotivated, I know sometimes I have to get myself into a new environment. So maybe that's a new cafe or co-working with a friend or whatever it is. But I think that motivation is really returning in some way this week, Pam. Ellis, you said, I haven't had a car for a while. I'm pretty much come to terms with it just as an opportunity for a new car has appeared. Do I have a reason to hesitate, or am I just procrastinating on a change? Just from an astrological viewpoint, I mean, Mercury retrograde isn't a big enough reason to not make moves on, like, a vehicle, especially if this vehicle feels aligned. So, you know, don't let Mercury retrograde hold you back. That's my astrological advice. The only thing that comes through with the Mercury retrograde stuff, it might not be necessarily about the vehicle, the performance of the vehicle itself, but just be careful with, like, paperwork and being really clear if you're, like, taking out a loan or paying for this car in cash, or I don't know what the deal is, like, if your friend's like, hey, do you want to buy my car? But just be really clear with what's happening with the paperwork. That would be my advice here. And Alice, the card that came out is Healer. So I'm thinking that maybe in a weird way, this car is connected to something you've been manifesting. Like, for instance, if you've been manifesting more community or wanting to be more spontaneous or wanting to, like, come out of the hermit's cave in some way, maybe this car can kind of, you know, literally be the vehicle to take you to a community meetup or, you know, a new cafe that you've been wanting to explore, or like a queer meetup, or I don't know, something like that. So maybe this car is part of the manifestation of that in some way. All right, Lauren, you said I would love an anchor card for Mercury retrograde. Ooh, this is a good one. Release. Yeah. I love this. Release. Yeah, this makes me think that for some reason this is coming through as other people's opinions. And I think that's part of creating something and putting it out there for the public. Like, at some point, it's sort of like, how much of this is for me? And how much of this is for other people? And at some point, I kind of have to release me wanting a certain reaction from other people and just letting the art be the art. And part of creating art is being okay with different reactions coming from different people. So maybe you're kind of releasing this sort of responsibility or duty for how someone is going to react to your art, and you're like, no, like, at this point the art is an entity in itself and we're just gonna see what happens. That's what comes through for some reason. Lindsay, you said I would love a card for my business. Yeah, guys, this week I had such an incredible song healing from Lindsay. It was so great. Lindsay has this, like, beautiful voice, and she uses her own voice to create sound, and I felt like it was a huge relief during my eclipse week, because I had that song healing on, was it Monday? And then, yeah, by Thursday, I was receiving that new job offering, so I feel like it really put me in that place of, like, being able to receive that. So I was very grateful for that this week. And Lindsay, it's funny because you have the shadow and the full moon. So the full moon is when, you know, the moon is the most visible and the most sort of lit up, right? And the fact that shadow is coming up around the illumination, for you, the card for your business is like, how does the business itself bring up the shadow parts of yourself, and how are you, you know, acknowledging those shadow parts but not making it the entire narrative, and just being like, oh, okay, yeah, that imposter syndrome's coming up, or, oh yeah, I see that limiting narrative that's coming up, but not taking it personally and not letting it be a reason not to move forward with launching something or being seen, really comes through with that moon shadow self thing. So yeah. So Cher, you said I'd love a card for the week. Yeah. Ooh, share karmic path. We've got Saturn. So I actually get the sense that there's some karmic story for you, Cher, that's being resolved during this beginning, even the beginning of this Saturn in Pisces transit. Like, it feels like it's close or happening right now, and I think this maybe has to do with... It feels like this karma is about... It feels like it's, like, about connecting with your own individual capabilities in a weird way, and really connecting with, like... Yeah, your individual autonomy, and maybe even releasing yourself from certain bonds that you feel like you're dependent on, and maybe the power in only depending on yourself. I'm not saying that in, like, a toxic individual way, but in the sense of, like, ooh, like, I depend on my opinion of my own self, or, like, I depend on, you know, what I think about my life is the most important thing, you know? So I think there's something like that resolving in that karmic field. And yeah, I don't know if that makes sense to you, Cher. It doesn't quite make sense to me, but that's kind of what comes through. Isrob, you said, I would like a card. Major job changes going on. Yeah. Not surprised. Oy. Protection. Okay, this makes me feel like you are protected in doing what is right for you in this moment. So, you know, if that's leaving this job, or, you know, accepting the opportunity to be promoted, or even maybe exposing some kind of toxic power dynamic in the workplace, or there's something like that coming through. The ancestors have your back. The spirits have your back. You're protected to move forward in the way that feels right for you. And I think you've known the way forward for a while, and the eclipse season is just kind of highlighting the new doorway. Yeah. Like, I'm seeing, like, a flashing exit sign. And I feel like that it's like, you know, right now it's time to release the other chapter and kind of come into the new chapter. Jess, you said, I would like a card. Growth. Ooh. Yeah, be confident that you're growing. Even if it's not in the way your ego imagines what growth is, you know, be very confident that right now you're growing exponentially in all avenues. Soul growth, emotional maturity, workplace, ability, like, you're growing in all avenues, and don't let your ego tell you the story. This is the one thing that would prove that you're growing, right? Like, because it's not true at all. Like, just take this week in a lot of ways to acknowledge how much you've grown already and give yourself some credit. Emmy, you said, can you pull the tower for me? I got the card last time I quit. Sending good vibes for your tarot class. It changed my life. Oh, I love it. Yeah, Emmy, you were an OG Fool cohort member. That class was fun. And Emmy, just a card for you, gratitude. So it feels to me like it would be helpful this week to focus on what is good, what feels good, the good that you can cultivate in your life, and yeah, like, yeah, focusing on what feels good feels very Taurus energy, right? Thanks for all these prayers to the tarot class. I appreciate it. Corey, you said, would love a card. Next steps for your book. Thank you. We'll for sure hold your prayers. Ah, thanks, Corey. Ooh, Corey. Okay, so we got water, time, and talisman. I just love this. I love this, like, I don't know. I love this story. It, for me, it's telling the story of how our deepest emotions and our intimacy with ourselves can unlock the doorway into the next chapter. So, and maybe it's literally for you. So, you know, I'm not sure if your book is finished or your manuscript is finished and now it's like ready to potentially be published or self-published, or if you're still writing the book, but it feels to me like there's something vulnerable. There's a certain level of vulnerability that is next on the list. And I think it is vulnerable to send, you know, I haven't written a book, but, you know, in college, I was a poetry major. So, you know, I remember it being kind of vulnerable to send your poem to the class for the workshop. In class, or is vulnerable to send your poem to get published in a literary magazine or potentially get published in a literary magazine. Because when you present something you've created, you put it up for rejection. But at the same time, you're also allowing it to be read and considered by others. So I think the next step in some way has to do with vulnerability and intimacy with the self. So Vince, you said, I would love a card to help me identify what I can become, or so what I can welcome during this retrograde eclipse season. Yeah, let's see here. Card for Vince. Ah, home. That's cute. I think maybe this eclipse season is helping you identify, you know, it sounds cheesy, but like our own groundedness and rootedness within ourselves and our relationships with our ancestors can be the medicine and is often the medicine for any sort of turbulence that we're experiencing in the material world. So I think you're welcoming, like, how security and safety can show up within yourself, and maybe welcoming how you have evolved into your own inner parent, and maybe three or four years ago, we didn't even know what the word inner parent was, and now we're trying our best to be our own inner parent to our inner children, like, you know, that's a huge thing that we could, you know, welcome in. So, yeah, I'm excited to see that for you, Vince. Sam, you said, I really prioritized rest this week and it was so helpful. I would love an oracle card for the week ahead. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, rest has been helpful and will continue to be helpful during this Mercury retrograde in Taurus. Let's see here. Ooh, Sam, past life. Yeah, this is interesting. I think when the past life card comes out, it's very possible that a situation that you're dealing with in life right now is potentially mirroring something that your soul has already gone through. But this is also the opportunity to shift how we react or behave in this challenge that is now being repeated. And that can be the pain of like, if a super painful thing comes into our life and we're just like, oh God, this is like breaking my heart. Like, I think part of that pain subconsciously is that it's happened before in our soul's past, and now we're sort of re-remembering this pain. And that sounds depressing, but it's, and it is in some way, but also it is empowering to know that in this lifetime, we're meant to change our reaction to that pain or deal with that pain differently. So that could be really, an interesting thing to consider. And I know you have Venus in Scorpio, Sam, and I think, you know, there's some kind of past life story with that Venus in Scorpio, and maybe creating a past life tarot spread to sort of read in more on what that Venus in Scorpio may have experienced in a past life could be really helpful. I don't know, I just keep seeing that Venus in Scorpio, and I keep thinking about how the karmic astrologers would say, you know, when we have a planet in retrograde or a planet that's in its detriment or fall, maybe it's a sort of past life point of release. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Cher, you said Saturn is square my sun right now. I also have this in my natal chart, death feeling the smell. Saturn is heavy. Totally. Oh, I'm with you, Cher, because, yeah, you have Gemini sun, I have Pisces sun, so we both are having Saturn sort of transiting our suns. You know, it's kind of tough, right? Morgan, you said I'd love a card pulled. Yeah, let's see, Morgan. Okay, magic, message, guides. This feels to me like before you handle it yourself and take it into, yeah, before you take it into your own hands, like what would happen if you asked spirit for assistance or guidance with a certain challenge or problem, and what would it be like to see if spirit can kind of resolve something for you. That's not me saying just wait around sitting on the couch and, you know, don't do anything, but I do think sometimes we tend to take things into our own hands prematurely, and we forget that we can ask for help from our guides, from our ancestors, from our angels, whatever we want to call them. So I would say this week, call in your divine assistance and see if that makes a difference with what you're trying to resolve. Okay. Corey, you said, wow, I'm working on my second edits right now. The feedback I got from my beta readers was that they wanted more info on vulnerable stuff. Yeah, that is so funny, Corey. Okay. So interesting. And yeah, Sam, let me know what you come to find as you explore more of the Venus and Scorpio part of your chart. It's very, it's intriguing to me in a lot of ways. But, oh, guys, good thing I started working at a acupuncture place because my back is killing me, so maybe they can heal me. All right, my friends, that's it for Witch Church this week. Next week, we'll probably be talking about the eclipse. God, the next eclipse. Jeez, I can't take all these eclipses. But hang in there. Know that you might only be, you know, 24 hours away from the change that you're waiting for. You know, so just hold that. Keep that in mind if any impatience sort of comes up. Have a great rest of your Sunday, my friends, and we will talk soon. Tell your friends about my tarot class. Thank you. Okay. Love you. Bye.